Summer with George McEncroe on ABC Local Radio.
It's lovely to be here, filling in for a couple of weeks on the ABC. I'm George McEncroe. If any of you, I'm getting some texts about fires. For emergency information, you need to keep listening to your local ABC radio station for updates as necessary. So anyone who's in an affected area, keep listening to your local ABC radio, and you can keep up with emergencies across the country by checking online at abc.net.au/emergency. And that's how you can keep up to date with all the information that is relevant to you in an affected area. This hour, we're going to be discussing a lot. We've assembled a panel of people to talk about a range of issues that are particularly, we've got sort of scamming on one side and health and wellbeing in ageing on the other. And in the middle, Jan Marshall, who has been touched by both sides of that coin. So we have Nicholas J. Johnson, who is a comedian and a con man and a scam expert, but he's on the side of good. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, they call me the honest con man.
The honest con man. Yeah. So we'll be getting to hear his point of view on some of these things. Sue Malter, Dr. Sue Malter, is a research fellow, Health Promotion Division, adjunct research fellow, Swinburne University and the National Ageing Research Institute. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jan Marshall, possibly the bravest and most generous person that you could think of, who, having been put through the torment of a love affair that didn't exist and swindled, there's no doubt about it, and no doubt hurt very deeply, has decided to share her story in the hope of helping other people and, I think, taking some ownership. And a very, very strong woman, Jan Marshall, welcome.
Hi there.
I am so honoured that you came in tonight, and I just, you know, hats off to you for sharing your story, because I can imagine it'd be very tempting just to pretend nothing happened, run away and hide. And, of course, that's how these people are allowed to keep operating, because they work on our pride as much as anything else. So we're going to be talking about the highs and lows of dating, and also, you know, particularly over 40, not necessarily online dating, but dating of any sort, and how to know whether somebody is telling the honest truth. If you have a story you would like to share or a question you would like to put to any number of our panel members, the number to call is 1300 222 774, or you can send me a text on 0437 774 774. Right now, we're going to have a little track. Stay with me. I love this song, Sam Smith.
Guess it's true, I'm not good at a one-night stand, but I still need love, cause I'm just a man. These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave, will you hold my hand? Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all a good look and some self-control. And deep down I know this never works, but you can lay with me so it doesn't hurt. Oh, won't you stay with me? Cause you're all. Stay with me. Darling, stay with me.
Isn't it beautiful? Stay with me. And do stay with me. I'm George McEncrow, filling in for a couple of weeks. We've got a bumper hour ahead of us, a very emotional journey. My guests are Dr. Sue Malta and Nicholas J. Johnson and Jan Marshall. And Jan, I want to start with you because I think your story is very moving and very disturbing as well. Tell us what happened.
I had moved down from Brisbane to Melbourne about 2.5 years ago and was looking for a companion, somebody to explore Victoria with, okay. Really wanting to get out and see some sights. And so I went online looking for somebody. I went onto a site called Plenty of Fish. Mm-hmm. And within a day or two, I was approached from somebody who was a civil engineer. At that stage, they were in America, but a British and finishing up on a contract there. Mm-hmm. You know, I was initially surprised. Why were they contacting me when they were so far away? And they were really persuasive that they'd go anywhere to be with the right person. Mm. It sort of grew from there with lots of sharing of information and fairly quickly him saying, his name was Eamon, him saying that he was really keen on me, and, you know, that grew more and more. To the point where over sort of a period of 4 weeks, we'd got to the point where we sort of really felt we could spend the rest of our life together.
Wow.
And, you know, agreed to marry, for him to come here yep. to Melbourne and for us to marry.
So he obviously worked very hard at convincing you that he loved you, he yes. was behind you. And
yes.
Yeah.
This is what the scammers do. I use the phrase love bomb.
Okay.
They just, you know, over and over again, express their love.
Now, so it's like a hypnosis, like a hypnotic trick almost.
Absolutely. It's very much what I call it. The word I use is thrall.
Okay.
You go into a thrall. And I think that's fairly common when you get infatuated with somebody.
Well, we know physiologically that you do release certain hormones
yes.
that sadly they fade away.
Yes.
but at least at the initial stages yes. and it is kind of, it's at a chemical cellular level.
Yes.
You are enthralled.
So I thought I'd found the man that I would spend sure. the rest of my life with. He finished his job in America, went back to Manchester, and then went on to supposedly what was going to be a 6 to 8 week job in Dubai fixing some pipes. And, you know, then the story started happening. Firstly, miscalculating how much supplies he would need and not having the money. And it went on through a whole range of scenarios, all of which needed financial support for. And I was wanting to be in partnership with somebody.
Sure.
When you're in partnership with somebody, you actually want to share with them. You know, and the first request for money was very much, what do I do, what do I do? And I decided to go with love. You know, that's what I was wanting. So I started giving money, and more requests came over the month with all sorts of stories, claims about being a tax being demanded by the Dubai authorities or else he couldn't leave, me giving him the money for the tax and then him being robbed of that money, being on the way to the airport to go back to England and being in a car accident and needing hospital things, many, many different things, to the point where I had given him all of my personal savings. I'd extended my credit card and got a new credit card, so I was taking money on credit. And then finally, out of desperation to get him out of Dubai and back to England, I actually took money out of my self-managed super fund, which you're actually not allowed to do.
Okay.
And, you know, after all of that, sort of finally he said he was leaving, and then there was the cutoff of the contact, and only at that point did I realise I'd really, truly been scammed.
Okay, so there'll be people listening to this, and you must have come across this from friends who are going, what were you thinking? You're an intelligent, educated, professional woman. How can you be blinded to that degree. How do you respond to that? I mean, it's a cruel, I think, an unfair assessment, but that, you know, that's part of why the scam works, though, too, because it's embarrassing to have been misled.
That's exactly right. There's a number of things. Firstly, there's the love that you think you have. So you're dealing in that. Two, there's they keep you very busy. So I was online to him at night, in the morning, text in between. So they really take up a lot of your time to convince you that they're interested in you. As I said, I was really wanting a partnership and to be part of, you know,
a team.
Mm. There were times when I wasn't sure whether I was being scammed or not.
So you did. Was there a little voice going, yeah?
I don't know whether this is or not. And that's the other thing. They build such an intimacy with you that you do not believe it's a scam, because a scammer wouldn't be this intimate.
No, okay.
You know,
because it's such an investment of time.
Yes.
And it's little chunks of money at a time too, isn't it? It's not – how much – do you mind if I ask you how much in total went
to this person? In total, over $250,000.
Over a period of how long?
Well, over a month. You know, totally it was really – I think I counted up the days and it was 72 days.
So when did you make the discovery that it was not on?
Only after – the money had run out and he said he was going back to England.
And then you just never heard from him again.
And then I never heard from him again.
And then what did you do then?
I went into shock, basically. I was devastated. I told immediate family and some very good girls' friends, but that was all. And I basically shut down. It really took me a long while to process. And in the first month, you know, I was going through stages where I felt, oh, if they turned up at my door, I'd take him in.
Yeah.
You know, so the love continues. And it wasn't until I started really looking at some of the sites which have the stories of scams that I realised, in fact, it wasn't about me at all. They are doing this as a professional activity. They were doing it time and time again. I did web searches on some of the phrases that were used with me and found many other times those phrases were being used with other people. I did a search on the photos that were sent to me and found those photos on 10 other websites, all with different names, different countries, different stories. In the face of that, you have to realise that it's not personal.
No, it's not personal, but it is deeply personal at the same time. So the wound is very real that's been inflicted upon you. And the bastardry of this person or this company or this operation, whoever they are. Nick, what have you seen in your time? Thanks for sharing that story, Jen. I really admire your honesty and being prepared to speak out about it. Does this sound familiar to you? You're a scam expert. Are there key words that Jan's mentioned there that you go, yep, bingo?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the places and the names change, the details, obviously sort of shift. The general structure has all sort of the classic signs of that type of scam. However, you know, the idea obviously that he's overseas, but also that he's in a foreign country. So that puts him in a position of being vulnerable. So you straight away want to help him. Mm. So rather than sort of coming to you for money, he's coming to you with a problem and you're the person who can solve that problem.
Mm.
And for someone you love, being able to solve a problem for them is an extraordinarily powerful thing to do. And that's really what they're taking advantage of, is just that idea.
Mm.
And as you said, you know, if you do Google, you know, at Google image search or a text, as you will just see the same sort of stories with slight details, changes made specifically to sort of suit you coming up over and over again. Yeah.
And so do you think the age of somebody like Jan is relevant to this? You know, do you think that as we age, perhaps we do become more isolated and the need for connecting to people is greater, which somehow makes us more vulnerable to these kind of scammers?
Well, at face value, you would think that. You would instantly think, well, older people would be more vulnerable. But the ACCC put out a report at the end of last year which actually indicates that 70% of people who are conned in online dating scams are between 35 and 65, and the only 12% are age 65 and over.
Okay.
So it's actually young, you know, a different
in the middle years, really. Middle age, that's a very broad term.
And surprisingly, they found more men than women were scammed.
Okay.
So, no, Jan, it's not typical. So,
yeah.
This is not a typical scenario. Yes, older women are vulnerable, but no more than anybody else.
You're vulnerable if you want a relationship, really, aren't you?
Anybody's vulnerable if they want a relationship.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that I think attracts scammers to target older people is that they may have more financial resources.
Well, that's what I was going to say, and money that they can possibly access.
Yes.
Would you say that's, you know, the way people set up their finances is probably a part of it too?
Well, I'm not an expert on people and their finances, but I'd say that, yes, you're right. If you're close to retirement or you're retired, you've probably got your own house, you've got your self-managed super fund or money in the bank. So, yes, you might be more of a target. But
774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria, your emergency broadcaster. Emergency information.
And good evening, Michael Pavlich in the ABC studios. We'll return you to National Evening shortly, but there are a number of fires that we need to tell you about burning in the Kyneton area. There are a couple of emergency warnings that are current for those fires. First of all, there's an emergency warning current for fire at Woodley Heights, Edgecombe and Bald Hill. There is a fast-moving grass fire travelling in a southerly direction from the corner of Black Hill Road and Ford's Lane. This fire is currently not yet under control. Currently, the fire is north of Red Hill Road and east of Black Hill School Road, and it's heading towards Reedsdale Road. Spot fires and ember attacks may occur ahead of the fire. If you are in one of these regions, you are in danger. Act now to protect yourself. It's too late to leave. Your safest option is to take shelter indoors immediately. Also, there's a fire at Kyneton, at the Kyneton Bald Hill. It's another fire in the same area. Firefighters are responding to a grass fire travelling in a southerly direction from the corner of Black Hill Road and Ford's Lane. And as I said, it's moving in a southerly direction. There are a number of... there's a relief centre that's been open at the Kyneton Mechanics Institute. So if you're looking to somewhere to head, if you need some shelter, head along to the Kyneton Mechanics Institute. As we heard a lot earlier, there are a number of fires in this area. Three of them are of significance. It looks like they might have contained a couple of sections of those more serious fires, but there is still a bit of fire activity in the area. And believe that the fire did come close to houses. A lot of units have been deployed. I believe seven aircraft are currently fighting this fire, and over 20 trucks as well. Looking after sections of the Kyneton fire. So we'll keep you posted on ABC Local Radio throughout the evening and let you know as soon as the situation changes. But just repeating that message again, there are two emergency warnings current for fires in the Kyneton area, for Woodley Heights, for Edgecombe, for Bald Hill, and also for Black Hill School Road. As I said, stay tuned to ABC Local Radio throughout the evening. We'll keep you posted. If you want to know more information, you can call the Victorian Bushfire Information Line on 1800 240 667. That's 1-800-240-667. We'll take you back now to ABC Evenings with Georgie McEncrow.
Wouldn't you agree, Nicholas?
Yeah, that's that. In terms of internet fraud, is really the number one roadblock that people have in terms of getting their money back and bringing the people to justice. Is that regardless of what the country is, I mean, people always talk about Nigeria being a hotbed of scams, and it is, but the government is doing huge amounts of things to try and clamp down on it and bring the people to justice. But it's just when the victims are in Australia, America, Britain, all over the world, and then you've got people in sort of office blocks in Africa, it's almost impossible and just not worth their while, because the victims, obviously, of the scam are the people who've lost the money. It's not the Nigerian government don't care that much, and obviously the Australian police, their hands are tied, and so there's just not that impotence to do anything about it.
And while people feel so humiliated by the whole experience, it's just money for jam for people willing to play the game.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that there's also, you say Australian police, but I reported to the Victorian police. I don't know whether they talk to the federal police, and the fact that we have all of these different jurisdictions is also an issue here, because not even the jurisdictions work together or work similarly. WA is doing a lot, Queensland is doing a lot, Victoria, got no idea, New South Wales, no idea. You might even have more idea than I do about those. WA's had some good success because they've built up a relationship with the Nigerian police service. But does that flow over to us in Victoria? Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, you're right. It does. It depends very much on who you are, not only who you are, where it happens, but then also who you actually speak to.
Yes.
Because if you talk to, you know, you may talk to Consumer Affairs, you may talk to ACCC, you know, a lot of different people you can talk to and ways in which you can pursue it, and some are going to have more luck than others, which is why most of the sort of the money, but a huge portion of the resources goes into prevention, which is obviously not much use to someone like yourself. But
it's good to know in the future.
It's about sort of educating people, and it's about sort of telling the stories and letting people know so that later on it doesn't.
I accept that there is a lot of on prevention. I guess what's made me speak up now is because there's not enough being done to support those who are impacted.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was... The wound done to trust, you know, if somebody, you know, I don't want to say it, but the physical wounds can heal, but for somebody to... And you know, sure, relationships can go south and everyone can grieve that as if both parties were in there giving it a red hot go and it didn't work out. But to have somebody willfully come after your trust and damage it like that, how long did it take you to sort of be able to get out of bed and face the world?
Luckily, I was working, and I think having a stable job actually, you know, getting up and going out every day actually got me through that.
Yeah, fantastic.
For the most of the following year, I was really isolated, not going out, not doing very much. You know, I started off wanting to reconnect with people because it had awakened something in me, but after that I just sort of shut down. And it took me, probably late this year, one of the things I've done, my job was made redundant and I was retrenched. So it gave me a bit of time to look at what was going on, and I decided to write my memoir about it.
Good.
Again, as a way of getting that out there and answering some of those questions of how could you? And that's really helped me bring some understanding to it all. One of the other things that helped me understand it was, unfortunately, because of taking money from the self-managed super fund, I had to negotiate with the ATO about being taxed on that money, unsuccessfully, I might say, and I now have a tax bill of about $80,000 on top of all the money lost because of that. But I really had to come to terms with what my story was, and that I had been defrauded by a professional group of people.
Yep.
I wasn't just the victim of a little trick that maybe I should have seen. I was actively defrauded.
Yep. And you were groomed. I mean, people understand grooming now in sexual predation of other sorts. And this is no different, really. You build up trust, you build up intimacy, and then it's obviously highly effective. And to keep turning and blaming the victim. Why do you think people will try and blame the victim, Sue? What do you think is the instinct there to go, well, she's stupid, she should know, I would never have...
It's all about positioning people as them rather than us.
Okay.
So it's about othering.
Yeah.
You know, making them somebody we wouldn't be. We wouldn't fall for that. That wouldn't happen to us. It would always happen to somebody else.
Mm.
So it's about divorcing yourself from that person so that, you know, it's never going to happen to you. And it's about distancing from that so that, you know, feeling that it won't ever happen to me, it won't ever be me.
Yeah. Well, I hate that attitude. I mean, I think I can see that you've made this crime of being loving and generous, you know. So sue me. What would you have someone be any other way, really?
That's
ideally?
Exactly right. Part of me realizing it was, I'd actually do this with my brother and my mother. I want to do nice things with them. I'll give them whatever money they need to do that.
Yeah.
It's part of my way of loving.
It's your love.
Yeah.
You look after the people you love, and that's part of how we're raised.
Yes.
And then that's, why we're all so vulnerable. Look, Alex has called. If you want to join the program at any time, I'm George McIncroft. If you've just joined us, we're talking about, well, Jan Marshall's story of being scammed by a professional group of fraudsters using a dating scam, but, you know, terrible situation for her, and Dr. Sue Malta, and Nicholas Johnson, who is an honest con man, and Dr. Sue is a research fellow and health promotion division adjunct research fellow at Swinburne University and the National Ageing Research Institute, or NARI as it's called, and they're joining us. So if you have a question that you would like to put to the program, 1300 222 774 is the number to call. If you are concerned about fire updates, we will break into the program when there are updates that are necessary. So stay listening for more information. Keep listening to your local ABC radio station for updates as necessary for people in the affected areas. And you can keep up with emergencies across the country by checking online abc.net.au/emergency. Alex is on the line. Welcome, Alex. Oh, sorry. Hello, Alex.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for waiting.
That's okay. I'm just a bit confused whether we're talking about scamming or dating.
Well, both at the moment. I would like to hear dating if you've got a dating story, or scamming if you've got a scamming story.
I've got both.
Oh, well, then hit us up, lady.
Look, my husband died suddenly nearly 4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alex.
No, thank you. It was very unexpected, and while I was still in the grieving process, a man we'd known for 20 years rang me. I thought he'd looked up to my husband as a kind of second father. He always seemed to almost love him. It was a pretty close relationship. And he rang and begged me for a short-term loan, just for a week. And I very stupidly gave him the money.
Or very generously gave him the money.
Yeah, but this is someone I had known, knew his family.
Yeah.
He's even got a half-sister who's a policewoman.
Yeah, so don't beat yourself up and say, oh, very stupidly. You just trusted him because you knew him.
I knew him for 20 years, and I couldn't imagine that he would do this.
No, he's a criminal.
He's a criminal. I have called in lawyers. He then was found to have no assets and disappeared. I managed to track where he'd gone to, told the lawyers. I haven't heard a word from the lawyers.
Mm.
It's awful. So that's one story.
All right, that's the scamming one done, tick.
Yep, and yep. I think anyone who can do that is, would you call it a sociopath, I think?
Yeah, there's something, terrible lack of empathy there, and yeah, someone who's exploiting a situation for his own benefit. I mean, he's certainly a very unpleasant chap, but I just would take you to task on calling yourself stupid, because I don't think you've done anything stupid.
Oh, well, you should hear what my daughters call me.
I don't know you well enough yet to do that. On the facts presented, I just think you sound like a loving, trusting person. So tell me the good story.
Well, I started dating again a year ago.
Good on you.
Because I wasn't at all interested, and then all of a sudden, after 3 and a bit years, I thought, it was 2 and a bit years by then, wasn't it? No, 3 and a bit.
Anyway.
Whatever it was, anyway.
It's moving right along.
The heat saddled my brain. So I'm 62 now, so I decided to start dating and started looking online. And it's awful out there. And I once worked as an editor, so anyone who's English gives me a hint that they're not Australian, not an English speaker, I just rule out straight away.
Yeah, that's always a standout.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
The way that they phrase things and the language they use. But I've met a number of people through that, through fast impressions. The funny thing about the story is I actually signed up for Tinder.
And
I've met someone that I've now been seeing for 8 months.
Alex, you go girl.
He is.
Is he a bit of all right?
He's 14 years younger.
Of course.
Of course. And it will probably never lead to anything permanent, like a live-in or a marriage.
Doesn't
or
matter.
Like that.
Who wants it? Who wants to wash anyone else's undies? No, thanks.
Do you know what? I wouldn't mind if it's the right person.
I think you're getting the best of both worlds, Alex.
Well, I don't know, but I just want to say that there is hope.
There is hope.
I'm still getting messaged all the time by people, and I'm just being really picky.
But it's good, though, that, you know, and I'll take this to Sue. Thank you so much for your call, Alex. I appreciate it. The need for sexual intimacy as we age doesn't disappear. You know, I think is that one of the sort of common misconceptions that...
Yes, it's a stereotypical myth that older adults are not sexual. They are. Mm. We continue to be sexual throughout our lives. Yes, sometimes that's impacted by health factors, but that doesn't stop us wanting a cuddle or other means of having sexual expression.
Yes.
You don't actually have to have intercourse to be sexually active as you age.
You don't have to not have it either. But
no.
Still, yeah. But no, I know what you mean. You can, the physicality of holding another human or that physical touch.
Mm. And for many older adults too, in my study, the research that I did for my PhD, a lot of them had been in long-term relationships, so they'd never really explored their sexuality. In a lot of cases, they'd only ever had one partner.
Yep.
So that when they became single at a later age, it was like, woohoo, what's happened to me?
And people feel good about...
Oh, absolutely. They embraced it. And
you should see the smile on Sue's face right now.
Well, it was the best research to do. I spoke to...
Of course.
The stories were so positive, so life-affirming, because it shows that, you know, life doesn't stop at 60. It doesn't have to.
So tell me what it does to people when they find, you know, when they rediscover their sexual identity, even if it's been laid dormant, you know, in a dusty old moth-eaten marriage for, say, 30 or 40 years. What sort of effects does it have on people?
Well, it's been shown that the more, if you can remain sexually active as you age, it has health and well-being effects. So it's good for your mental health as well as your physical health.
There you go, people.
Yep.
You've heard it from the expert. No need to hold back. Well, you see, that's, I mean, we sense that, but to actually have done the research and studied people and seen the positive effects of, but you weren't looking at necessarily having sexual intercourse, but just sexual intimacy of any variety.
Well, my research was about new relationships in later life.
Okay.
So it was just about people discovering dating again, how they went about it, how they met people, you know, because there's nothing out there that tells us where do people actually meet. And a lot of them do go online.
Mm.
Online dating forums are a good place for older adults to meet new people. They can't go to pubs and clubs. As they said,
no
one wants an ageing person standing in the corner.
I know.
But also, I mean, also it's now, you know, we told you this before, that's now, meeting people online 5 years ago was slightly embarrassing to kind of actually, you know, met on a dating website. And now that's the norm. I mean, like every single person I know has Tinder or they're on OkCupid or, you know, some sort of dating website. Mm. And it's, so it's not like sort of it is sort of the first port of call for a lot of people.
Well, and on RSVP, which is Australia's largest dating website, 22% of their membership base is 50 years and older, and their oldest participant is 91.
Man or a woman?
A man.
Yeah, right. Good on him. Go Tiger. Yeah.
But he's looking for someone older. So he's just sitting there with no matches. Very sad.
Looking for a mature older lady.
Yeah, that's right.
Bless him. All right. So we've got some people who want to talk. We're going to jump around a bit here, people. So hang on to your hats. We're going to go a bit between scamming and dating and everywhere, wherever. It's a panel. We can do what we like. We have Madonna on the line from Queanbeyan. Welcome, Madonna.
Hi.
What would you like to contribute?
Well, look, I just wanted to contribute to the internet dating scam conversation that's been happening. I've been really enjoying listening to it and sadly can relate to some of it. Thankfully, I sought my revenge and I got it.
Did you? I was just going to ask Jan about having revenge fantasies on tracking down this guy. What happened to you? How did you get revenge?
Okay, well, essentially the short story is, you know, I went through marriage separation, and as some people do, you sort of go through a bit of a self-esteem thing.
Yep.
So I thought, right, get out there and get dating. Madonna, you're a beautiful, attractive woman.
Yep.
You know, just get yourself out there. And what 40-something people do, they go on the internet. So I went on the internet and I put myself on all these sites and, yep, got heaps of attention, lots of little bits and pieces here and there. And anyway, this one particular person paid particular attention. And, you know, at first it was just emails and messages, and then it kind of, you know, warms up and they get more intense and they start sending you pictures, and then you start sending pictures, and then, you know, it gets more intense. And I'm sure this story is quite common, and
yep.
And it keeps going. So, I don't know, I think it was probably about 6 months of just having a bit of a chat here and there, and then these intense emails were coming through, and it never kind of went much further than that. But what ended up happening was he kind of slipped up, and he told me that he was catching a plane with his daughter to Malaysia, as he was a fashion designer and was going there to buy materials for the season. And anyway, he went to, apparently, to Kuala Lumpur and told me, you know, where he was staying and all these hotels and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I just kind of went, okay. And then all of a sudden he tells me that he got held up in a taxi with his daughter. His daughter was kidnapped and he was hit on the head and needed to be taken to hospital and didn't have any money to be rescued. And I went, ah, right, okay. And as I've heard tonight already, you know, they start pulling the emotional strings. So, lo and behold, I checked all of this out and I rung the Kuala Lumpur consulate and I started doing some investigation behind the scenes and very quickly found that this person wasn't legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I then thought, right, this is unbelievable. So, sadly, in that whole process, though, I did send him $500.
So you're only down $500, Madonna.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. And, you know, I think, you know, that thank you so...
the bell's rung.
Yeah,
you know,
good on you.
The bell's rung. And so the bell's rung and I went, right, okay, so, well, I've sent that. Live and learn, Madonna.
Yeah.
That's, you know, this will be a moment I won't forget. But it didn't stop there. Because I not only went to the Kuala Lumpur consulate in Kuala Lumpur, I went to the Australian Federal Police here because I live near Canberra,
yep.
And I reported it to them. I gave them all of the email communication. I contacted 9MSN, who were the owners of the website that he came through.
Yep.
I then approached all of the different dating websites that I could see his picture on. Yes, and his picture was on all the different websites using
just
all
like
different
him.
Names.
Yep.
And I reported him. I got all of his profiles blocked. I shut him down on Hotmail, and he was one of the scammers, ended up being a young 30-year-old Nigerian guy who was based in Kuala Lumpur. So actually, part of his story ended up being true because he was in KL, which was astounding. But he ended up being one of the scammers who the Australian Federal Police, it was about 18 months, 2 years ago, went over to Kuala Lumpur. It was on 60 Minutes, and they busted a whole apartment building.
But they're working around the clock.
Internet scammers who are working around the clock. Now, the crazy part is that when women talk to men and they ring you on your mobile, they pursue, they groom you. When they ring you, do you know, and this is all stuff I found out afterwards, do you know that they use technology to change their voices to the opposite sex?
Oh, okay, so you can be a woman actually sounding like a man or a man sounding like a woman, depending
exactly.
on...
Exactly.
That is a really serious story. Thank you so much, Madonna. We've got a lot of other people to chat to, but I appreciate you sharing that story and owning up to it. Yeah, it's an extraordinary situation. I guess when someone tells you that they've been hit over the head and their kid's been kidnapped, you just send them a sad face. Sorry, you're having a bad day. I just bought an ice cream. No, I wanted to go to here. Hello, are you there, Troy?
Yeah.
Hi, good on you, Troy. Thanks for calling. What would you like to add?
I'd just like to add, I mean, I was a victim of a scam to a tune of $100,000. I'm probably facing bankruptcy because of it.
I'm sorry, Troy.
But I'd like to actually totally give all support to your panel and say
to Jan.
To Jan, and say exactly what she says is 100% true. All I have had in support has been, how could you be so effing stupid? You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Well, you're not stupid. You just fell in love.
But it was that basically grooming and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, and you've thought, I'm a professional. I'm intelligent, which I am. And, yeah, I would know better than that. I won't be scammed. And she's totally right on every account.
Well, thank you for your support. Jan's nodding in agreement, Troy. And it is lovely to hear someone ringing and supporting and being prepared to share their experience too, because it is embarrassing.
It is incredibly embarrassing, and the shame factor is big time, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you don't want to admit it.
That's how they get it to be so successful. Thank you.
774 ABC Melbourne and ABC Victoria, your emergency broadcaster. Emergency information.
G'day, Michael Pavlich here in the ABC studios. We will return you shortly to Georgie McEncroe's evening program. But just to let you know, for residents in the Kyneton area, there is an emergency warning that is still current for Woodley Heights, for Edgecombe and for Bald Hill. There is a fast-moving grass fire travelling in a southerly direction from the corner of Black Hill Road and Ford's Lane. The fire is currently north of Red Hill Road and east of Black Hill School Road, heading towards Reedsdale Road. Spot fire and ember attacks may occur ahead of the fire. And if you are in one of these areas, you are in danger. You need to act now to protect yourself. It's too late to leave. Your safest option is to take shelter indoors immediately. There is a relief centre that's been set up in Kyneton at the Kyneton Mechanics Institute, and that is open to all people who may be affected. So the relief centre at the Kyneton Mechanics Institute in Kyneton. So there was a bit of fire activity in this area, and still is, of course, but it seems like things are coming under control a little bit with the onset of dusk. So just repeating that again, there is an emergency warning that is current for Woodley Heights, for Edgecombe and for Bald Hill, where a fast-moving grass fire is travelling in a southerly direction from the corner of Black Hill Road and Ford's Lane. The fire is currently north of Red Hill Road and east of Black Hill School Road, heading towards Reedsdale Road. Spot fire and ember attacks may occur ahead of the fire. Stay tuned, ABC Local Radio. We'll keep you posted throughout the evening. Of course, if you wanted to know more, there is the Victorian Bushfire Information Line. You can call that on 1800 240 667. That's 1800 240 667. Or head along to the Victorian Government Emergency website at www.emergency.vic.gov.au. That's a one-stop shop, and all the information you will need is at that website. So we'll keep you posted through on ABC Local Radio throughout the evening. Until then, though, we'll take you back to Georgie McEncroe and the evening program.
It's more and more embedded within you, within your psyche, and you're more and more attached to that person.
There's also part of our culture says that we would be able to identify a scam.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, and it's just not true.
No, we act as though we're terribly, terribly clever, and nothing ever takes us by surprise. And these things only happen to silly people. And it's the part of what Sue was saying before about this one. It's a self-protective.
Yes.
And it's wrong. And people are stupid if they think that's never going to happen to them. Because, do you think most people are vulnerable to scamming?
Oh, absolutely.
Like 100% of the population?
They I think everyone is, you know, is vulnerable to some type of scam, and it's everyone has a scam for them. So for you, obviously it was a dating romance scam. For me, it would be an entirely different scam.
What would be your scam weakness?
It would be I think it would be someone sort of offering to help get my sort of finances organized.
Okay.
And it would basically involve me. I think it would be a dodgy accountant.
Okay.
Would be able to get me. I'd be shoving receipts in front of
dodgy accountants.
Yeah.
Or a dodgy bank.
A dodgy bank. I'd be signing something without reading.
Storm Financial?
Yeah, that's sort of exactly. That's right. Yeah,
One of the ways I managed my own feelings about the loss of money was to say how many other people also lose money out there.
Yes, of course.
You know, it's not unique that I've lost money.
No.
Because many people do lose those sorts of investments, you know, financial crisis. Everybody lost money.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
I was able to depersonalize that for myself.
Mm. Oh, Sue, give us some good news about dating and give us some, you know, some tips for people who are in the dating scene, perhaps after losing a spouse through divorce or marriage breakdown or death. What can people be looking forward to if they're listening tonight, and what are some of the tips to keeping themselves safe?
The best thing about going online is that online dating websites structure the dating process.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been out of the dating game for a long time, it's a very easy process to follow. You go online, you post a picture of yourself if you want to. You don't have to have a picture, but if you don't, you're less likely to get
a hookup.
Yes. People then send winks or kisses or whatever that particular site has as a way of contacting people. You put up your personal profile, you read other profiles. You then, I would caution people to keep it online for a while before you meet them in real life.
Mm-hmm.
The people I spoke to then went and met in a coffee shop halfway between where they both lived, so it was anonymous, so that if they weren't comfortable in that person's company, they could leave without worrying that they'd be being followed back home.
Sure.
It's just about being cautious, but it's no more scary than if you met someone in a pub or a club, or how do you know they're genuine either?
Well, you don't, and you've got to, yeah, you don't. You just have to go with your gut, and sometimes you'll be done over.
But most dating websites also tell you how to be careful.
Yes.
And don't ignore the warnings. Just be careful, be cautious. Don't give out your email too soon. Don't give out your mobile phone number too soon. It's easy to say that, but when you get carried away with the excitement of it, it can happen very quickly. And for some of the people that I spoke to in my research, some of them met and went to bed together the first date.
Wow.
So within a week of meeting online. So,
and how did that work out usually?
And some of them ended up staying together for a long time.
Good on them.
So there's no hard or fast rules.
No.
Other people dated 40 people and still didn't meet the person that they connected with. So
that's interesting. Was that down to them not knowing what they're after, or not being across their own kind of neuroses, or knowing themselves very well?
It could be. Maybe they're just serial daters. Who knows? Some people just want to play the dating game. That's the other thing.
How exhausting.
Oh. other people just looking for a relationship.
And other people are just looking for straight up sex.
And there's that too. Mm. Just be careful. And the other thing I need to caution is that make sure you use barrier protection, because...
Now, this is an interesting thing. Apparently...
So are you talking about, like, virus software or...?
No. I'm talking about condoms forth.
Because a lot of older adults don't have the need, because they're not going to get pregnant.
I've heard this. The biggest rise in gonorrhea and venereal diseases across all is in the over 40s.
Yes,
age group.
There's a big rise in STIs amongst older adults, and it's happening around the world because they are being more sexually active. As there's more and more singles in the older adult population, they're becoming more sexually active, and because there's no fear of children, they
fear of children. We should all have a fear of children.
They don't think that they need
That's not the primary reason. Yeah, no, that's
but
right.
You do.
What about that conversation that couples have when they say, you know, you're going to go and get the blood test? You know, when they decide that they can put aside the raincoat. When does that happen?
Well, it doesn't.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen very often. Ooh. And I think there's research going on at the moment. It's a new project just starting at La Trobe that's investigating the incidence of STIs and what happens in older adult relationships.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with.
Do you think people who are on those dating sites, though, are honest? I mean, what does it do to trust? I guess the thing about the meeting in the pub is that you'd often be there with groups of mutual friends. It may be friends of your brothers or someone you're at uni with. And so someone comes to you in context and they know your context. So you have a sort of a tribal value, I suppose. Mm. When you're just online, everybody's just like choice after choice after choice. And we don't have that context in where to put people. So I guess... You know, I guess my point is that there are those indicators, those subtle indicators that we see when we meet people in the flesh the first time around, is the way they walk, the way they talk, the way they interact, even with the barman or the waitress or the people around sharing a pool table. Those things tell us lots. We get lots of cues from those people. They may not be absolutely correct, but there's something. How do we compensate for that online?
Well, there are lots of non-physical cues, non-face-to-face cues that happen online. You can tell by the way somebody writes something. You can tell by the things they talk about. It doesn't take long for warning bells to go off.
Okay.
It's very hard for some people to actually maintain a story. Uh-huh. And if people want a relationship, they're not going to tell you too many lies, because the minute they meet you, they're going to come unstuck.
Yes.
So, the vast majority of people are not con artists. They might lie about their age a bit. Yeah. They might lie about how tall they are.
But then, they know it's only going to get you to the date. And then if you walk in and, yeah.
That's right. If you're 15 years older than you said you were, and they're not interested, well, that's it. They're not going to see you again. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
So, but you've got something to say about that?
I was just saying, I know that a lot of people have sort of established their own systems for looking for people just not to trust, but also that are just not their type. So just their own personal ways of doing it. So I know women who refuse to have any interaction with men who pose with tigers. If there's a man posing with a tiger, they will not. And men holding up fish. If there's a man holding up a fish in his profile photo, he's out. But there are other things, you know, like they'll look and they've seen there are types of photographs and types of phrasing that and types of words and the way in which they answer questions.
Yes.
Or even just begin, you know, that you can tell. That you just sort of slowly, automatically learn, okay, this sounds like one of those sort of, this sounds like a scam.
Yes.
You can just read the subject line of the email and you know it's a scam.
And from what I understand from my male friends, there are a lot more scams directed at men on programs like Tinder, where it automatically links to sexual services online or other things, which isn't a personal kind of it. But those aren't on the women's... Tinder site.
They are, but they're far less. But I think that is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but is that men tend to be the ones initiating contact with sites like Tinder, whereas women tend to, you know, they do still initiate contact, but the women tend to sort of receive several sort of inquiries and then choose. And so it's the men who are sort of going out and therefore the ones more likely to kind of come across that type of advertising and scams and spam.
Oh, it's so interesting. We're in a whole new world. Have we got time? We'll just take a quick call. Andrea's been waiting. She's starting dating again. Welcome, Andrea.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for waiting. You got a couple of minutes. Yep.
That's okay. I'm 49 and I haven't... I've been separated for 2 years and I've just enjoyed the conversation, but I'm terrified, you know, listening to the stories about scams and online dating, etc. I haven't embarked on dating, but I just don't know where to start and how to do it safely.
Go, Sue. This is your chance.
Yeah. So it's just one of those, you know, situations where I think I'm university educated, you know, I'm attractive, you know, but I just don't know where to start, and I'm so terrified of being scammed.
Sue will give you the answer, Andrea. Hang on. Let her do it.
Well, congratulations for even attempting it and getting ready to go out there again, Andrea. A lot of psychologists and counsellors recommend to their divorced and widowed clients to actually use online dating. So I think you'll find it relatively easy. As long as you obey the warnings that the websites put out.
Yes, I heard that.
Yes, just take it easy. Don't rush it. It's a process. It takes a little while to work out how to put up your profile, what to say on your profile, that type of thing. Just take it slowly and enjoy.
Yes.
And I would add one thing, and that is do a Google search on the photos.
Ah, yeah, good idea. Everything. Google everything, Andrea.
Does that mean?
It means type in the name or the image and do a Google search on it.
Oh, in case it's repeated.
And if you don't know how to do it, find a young person. They'll know how to do it. Good on you, Andrea. Thanks so much for your call. And good luck with it. Okay. Jump right in, girl. Thank you so much, all three of you, for being with us. It's a really fascinating discussion, and particularly Jan, for sharing your story with people. It's very bold, and you've taken back the dignity, my friend, and doing something to help other people through your experience, which is wonderful. Stay with us the next hour. We have more music. We have John Oreglass, so we have a quiz. There's nothing not to like.